listening to Female VC Lab, a podcast that showcases the journeys of female investors. My name is Barbara Bickham, and I am an award-winning CTO and VC that teaches companies and investors about emerging technology. I am sitting down with female VCs and investors to talk about their funds, how they invest, and how they make an impact. Welcome to the Female VC Lab podcast. I have Julia. In one line, give me your name, your title, and the name of your fund.
Sure. Julia Gudish Krieger, and our fund is Pari Passu Venture Partners, and our app is Pari Passu.
Wonderful. So what inspired you to become a venture capitalist or investor?
I think at the end of the day, it was about kind of building and creating. And so venture gives you this really interesting mix of, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've been an operator before as well, the ability to not have to deep dive just in one company and one sector, but be able to help and support a broad amount of companies and sectors and stages. And so you scratch a bit of the entrepreneurial itch, but in a way that's also feeding some of that intellectual curiosity to not be so deep just in one company and to be able to, you know, continue learning as broadly as possible. So for me, it was the mix of those kind of two elements.
I love that. What is your thesis and the motivation behind your thesis there?
At Pari Passu Venture Partners, we're set up a bit differently. Rather than a traditional venture fund, it is very thoughtfully and intentionally individual SPVs, but we're putting a lot of resources behind it. So full-time partners, the amount of kind of diligence we do and support that we have for the portfolio. And the reason for that is our main thesis and kind of the seed thought of this is it takes a village to succeed in all parts of life, but definitely within business. And I think the more people you have on your cap table that have actually rolled up their sleeves and built something and been smacked around and humbled by entrepreneurship to know there's always a fire to put out and value add isn't just seeing what numbers are every quarter. And so when we thought that the folks that have operated and can add more money than value, having them on the cap table is what can hopefully help de-risk a business. The aha moment was, if you look at sort of top deals within venture, those weren't the ones that were typically on crowd equity platforms where you're able to put smaller checks in. And so that's the gap we wanted to bridge, because a lot of the folks that can add a lot of value that, again, are, you know, amazing operators and could be C-suite, could be other titles, right? Unless they've had crazy exits, they can't put like $500K or $1 million into Andreessen Fund or Sequoia Fund. Correct. And so for them, they might have that high net worth, a lot of it sitting in equity. How do you bridge the gap and allow them in a really curated way to get into the best deals in venture and to support those companies, but maybe behind the scenes, write a check that's 10K or 50K or 25K. So that was the real thesis for Pari Passu. And we also launched an app 8 months ago called Pari Passu that's meant to be just like the tech home for this community. Mm-hmm. But we've been backing companies since December of 2020. We've invested in 30 deals and about $1 million check in each.
That's great. So how did you come up? I know what Pari Passu means, but how did you come up with the name of your fund?
Yeah, most people know, if they know Pari Passu, it's more of a legal term, right? Yes. But really, ultimately, what it means is like on equal footing, right? And so how we view that is founder supporting founders and operator supporting operators. And we're in the trenches with you and building. It's that kind of camaraderie that comes with having stayed up all night worrying about payroll yourself, that sometimes you can't do a career and master, changes you at your core of how you view both probably human empathy, but also, again, what support looks like. And so that name really resonated with us in wanting to support our founders by having operators, not just at the partner level, but then all of our capital really behind the scenes.
That's awesome. So what are you currently learning or listening to or reading these days?
Always learning. There's a book that I really like that I'm actually rereading. It's called The Surrender Experiment.
Huh.
Have you ever read that?
I haven't heard of that one. That's a new one.
Let me figure out who it is. It's Michael Singer.
Michael
And
Singer.
yeah, he's like a New York Times bestselling author, but it's more around own sort of like personal growth and personal journey. And it's his story. And a lot of it is, I guess the thesis I would say is flow versus force in life. And I think a lot of the times when you think
Yes.
of being a leader and an operator, and whether you're running a venture capital firm or you're running a, startup, like working on yourself is so important, because being in a state of flow versus force, or intentionally trying to stay in that state, affects how open you are listening to other ideas, affects how open how open you are to adapting with having to navigate different challenges, and probably makes you a happier person, more pleasant to be around too. So I think this is a great book where it's basically like the story of this person's life. And for them, it's these also really short chapters that are like 4 pages, so you feel like you've really done a lot. But the back of the cover, to not give much away, is this person starts as a professor and decides he wants to go live in the woods and check out, and ultimately ends up taking a company public from the woods. It's just this saying yes and flowing with life. So it's a really beautiful and true story that then helps me ground myself in that flow versus force intention.
I like that flow versus force thinking, because sometimes we know force doesn't work most of the time, actually. And then flow is also about opportunity. Like you said, even though he was in the woods, he came upon this opportunity and he decided to go with it, as opposed to saying no as well, which could be a force or not a force, depending upon what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like stripping yourself of ego that says this is the way it's going to go. It's like being more kind of adaptive. It's not to say sit in your house on your couch and flow with doing
No,
anything.
not saying that at all.
Yeah, but it's no. I think it's yeah. It's very much my intention, and it's I think also like the energy with which you create, I feel
Yes.
like affects what you're putting into something. And to check yourself when you're in a place of feeling like you're going against the universe and why isn't something working? Like, that's when I feel like instead of powering through, sometimes you need to go and sit and reset for 10 minutes and make sure you're not just trying to brute force something from happening. Like, maybe there's a lesson, there's a pivot, there's something else. So,
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, bonus question. Everyone gets it. In 2 years, how do you see venture capital or investing having changed or evolved?
in the last 2 years, or you mean 2 years from
In the
now?
next 2 years,
In the next 2 years.
two years from now, yes.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a greater and greater emphasis on value add investors. I think if you look at the last 5 years when quote unquote shit hit the fan for many folks. And so like you need folk people on your cap table that can actually help you navigate not just the shiny times, but the more difficult ones. And so
Absolutely.
I do see founders being more intentional and doing their diligence similarly on the people that they're bringing onto their cap table. What are these people like to work with when things do go wrong? And how supportive are they? And how much do they roll up their sleeves to help navigate? And so I think having navigated, so many founders having navigated the last 5 years of venture with ups and downs and valuation changes and whatnot and macro events, that's going to be a trend that we see happening much more. So people being much more thoughtful in who they bring on their cap table, whether that means someone used to be an operator, whether that means someone has very specific expertise, it's in manufacturing or whatnot, like whatever the pain points are for the business, do you have the right people in your bench of support to help you navigate? I think that's one piece of it. I think related to that also, I think founders are being much more thoughtful on raising a bit more upfront, even if it means a little bit more, to not just bank on the next round or having to figure out unit economics later because you think you're just going to raise your way via hype. I think folks are going to be
Right.
more rooted in like the fundamentals of the business and make sure you're building a good quality business from day one. Those are the trends that I'm seeing.
Me as well. I'm seeing the second trend quite a bit. The other trend I'm seeing in the bucket of 2 years is how a lot of capital is tied up into these private markets. How are you going to unleash that capital? Can't do secondaries forever. I guess you could, but
No, I think that's fair. Yeah.
so I'm seeing some kind of how do you make synergies with how creating that alpha? That's important as well.
I think there's also certain industries that we'll just see much more attention towards that maybe 10 years ago were seen as polarizing. Like, I think you see a lot more folks investing in defense tech. I think you'll see a lot more folks investing in wellness tech or things that before would have been seen as like psychedelic therapy, like all these things that before seemed very niche that are now becoming much more mainstream, that there's a tremendous amount of science behind, and like big funds that traditionally were more tech funds curving into a lot of these opportunities. Those are some industries that I think will be interesting to watch how many
Yes.
folks evolve their sort of thesis to include the opportunities there.
That's a good point. How do people contact you?
They can shoot me an email at julia@ppvp.com, or they can download the Pari Passu app. And there's an easy message board within there too, to share opportunities that they're excited about or find other ways to support founders that are in our community. We really built Pari Passu with the intention of, again, creating that like village of support behind founders. So it's not just about backing deals. It's then also like, how do you support these companies?
That's wonderful. And we'll have those in the show notes. So thank you so very much, Julia Krieger from
Pari Passu Venture Partners,
for being my guest on the Female VC Lab podcast.
Thank you, Barbara, for having me.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by Trailin' Ventures. Find and invest in the next billion-dollar emerging tech company. Sign up for our exclusive content at https://trailin.com to find out more. Find us on Apple, on Spotify, and on Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.